We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Joining me right now, a major business rockstar. We've got Lewis Horn, president of CBRE Southern California in Hawaii. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. So CBRE, obviously a very big company, but for those who aren't familiar, if you could explain what CBRE is.
So CBRE is a commercial real estate service firm, and we're actually engaged with just about any element of the servicing for commercial real estate. So we're really probably most known for our brokerage activities because we have a lot of signs out representing ownerships. But we also work with tenants. We work with large corporations. We can place debt on buildings. We have a consulting firm. We do valuations and appraisals. We've got a group that focuses on environmental. We own the Trammell Crow Organization, which is a development company. We also represent investors and give consulting through a group called CBRE Global Investors. So we actually have 15 different divisions that make up our real estate commercial family.
Wow. And then obviously you are the head of a very big region. So tell me what goes into your role.
Sure. Well, I represent the company that starts in from the San Fernando Valley all the way down through the Mexican border and then out to Hawaii. And in that, we have around 3,000 employees. My primary focus is really making sure that all of those different divisions are speaking with each other so that we can provide better services to our clients. We'd really try to measure our success working with clients with their outcomes. So we're zero focused on making sure that whatever their expectations are, we're exceeding those expectations. So whether it's selling a building or leasing a property for an owner, or whether it's also working with a tenant or working with a tenant that's looking at multiple locations, we're very, very focused on making sure that we're exceeding those expectations.
And you touched on a very important thing, and that's communication. And that becomes increasingly difficult. So the bigger the company, the more people involved, the more divisions, businesses. So what do you think is the key to making sure everyone's communicating across different departments?
Well, part of that's culture. A big part of it's culture. And what we've done over the last several years is we've really merged the idea of bringing technology into our workplace. So, for example, in our workplace today, we don't have assigned seating. Everybody's digitized all of their information and they're free to sit wherever they want or office wherever they want. So we have a natural collaboration that's already taken place because of our workplace strategy and our workplace culture. We also have a culture where people trust each other and they want to work with each other. And we believe that we've retained and recruited the best talent in the industry. So people are constantly trying to find new ideas or new ways of working with clients, just working with their colleagues and peers. Part of also what we're doing is making sure that if you're siloed in one organization with our company, that you're sharing that information with others. So we're all smarter because of that, that increased knowledge from our other colleagues. So a big part of my job is just making sure that I'm really, you know, having people communicate effectively and work together on assignments and spend a lot of time with our clients, making sure that they're satisfied, not just satisfied, but they believe that we're exceeding their expectations so that we can build long-term relationships.
Yeah, I know that you and I chatted before we started and agreed that building a team is one of those fundamental things that you need as an entrepreneur, especially when you're growing your business. But it's something that so many businesses don't get.
Right.
So can you speak to why this is so important, why your team really is everything?
Well, we look at the most important assets to your company or your people always. And it's important to have the right people and the right people that have got a team environment. So we focus not on just the smartest people in the space, but also those that can get along with others and also those that are willing to share and like to learn. So if you, in a great corporate culture, whether it's three people in the office or whether it's 3,000, it's really all about synergy. Are the sum equal to more than the total equal to more than the sum of its parts? And I think for us, we're really proud of the fact that all of our people are engaging with each other. So we're sharing information that makes whoever we're representing smarter in the marketplace. Real estate and commercial real estate is a very fluid and dynamic environment. So things are constantly changing. The market's changing. Interest rates are changing. Needs are changing. Workplace strategy is changing. So we are very proud of the fact that we communicate kind of those leading edge ideas that are happening all over the world And we incorporate those into our conversations when we're working with our clients.
Yeah, of course, one of the challenges when it comes to creating a good work culture is executing. And,
right.
you know, step one to establish what are our values, what
right.
kind of synergy do we want to create, but then actually really getting that into the culture and getting your employees to adopt that mentality mm-hmm. is a whole nother thing. So how do you make sure that that really happens?
Well, it starts off with building a culture based on a foundation of values. You mentioned it. And so we have an acronym we call RISE, which is Respect, Integrity, Service, and Excellence. And that's paramount to everything we do. So if we're hiring right and we're retaining right, we hold everyone to that same standard, lots of good things happen.
Yeah.
And so for us, we really share in each other's successes. So by the environment that we've built, when somebody's successful with another division, it's really a success for all of us. And not only are we measuring those successes by the outcomes from our client's perspective, but we're sharing those with each other. So that somebody from our valuation department, if they can provide information to our tenant brokers that actually help them create a better lease or more options in their lease or a better working environment through a workplace strategy, that's something that we incorporate in virtually every transaction that we are involved with. So we believe that it's really a relationship business. The transactions are, you know, part of keeping those relationships alive. But at the end of the day, it's all about how does everybody feel after the events.
Yeah, I love what you touched on about celebrating those wins
yeah.
because that's everything. Everyone wants to feel appreciated.
Right.
And if there's more positivity than negativity, that goes a long way, doesn't it?
It does, but it's also learning from your losses too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm very, very interested, and so are all of our leaders and so are all of our professionals. In areas where perhaps if we didn't get an assignment or an area where we believe we could have done a better job, we're very honest with each other about how to improve and not repeat the same mistakes twice.
Yeah. And then it goes back to what you said, too, where you need to hire the right people. That
right.
makes a huge advantage
right.
for a company.
Right. Right.
So what is your hiring process like?
Well, first of all, we have an enormous training program, and we're very selective on who we hire. As a good example, our intern program, we had 38 interns this year. We had 750 applications. So in some of it, our hiring pool, it actually starts with those who have cleared, you know, all the hurdles it takes to become an intern. We have an opportunity, as I call a free look. They get to look at us and we get to look at them. So that's at the entry level. We also have been very successful in bringing the top talent from our competitors over because they recognize that we've got a platform now because of all of these other services, because of the transferring of knowledge, that they're frankly able to execute for their clients better at our platform than they can at other platforms. So we've created an environment here where, as our CEO, Bob Selenik, would say, we're focused on becoming a world-class organization, not to be compared to one of our industry competitors, but really to be compared to some of the greatest organizations in the world.
Yeah. And then, of course, going back to retaining good talent,
mm-hmm.
you have to have a work culture that's great and all of that. So can you touch on how you retain good talent?
Sure. Well, part of it is teaming. I mean, virtually all of our work is done through a series of teams. Some of those are virtual teams. Some of those are formal teams. A lot of our work now is also work that we do in multiple markets, doing multiple things. So when being able to create that kind of an environment for really talented people who really are working on sophisticated accounts and sophisticated transactions, they really are attracted to us because of that platform. And they frankly are that not only will they seek us out and join us, but it also keeps them here for the balance of their career. So I'm really proud of the fact that we've had some of the best talent in the world join us because of the platform. And for the most part, our people are very happy and they want to stay.
Happy people will stay with their company.
That's right.
Is for sure.
Yeah.
And I love that you shared with me off camera that you have a program to really help women in the workplace. Can you share that with us?
Well, we believe that because we're a leader in this industry, we believe that we have a certain responsibility. A social responsibility, not only in our communities, but also industry responsibility. And one of the many programs that we have is a group called the Women's Network. And this was started by a woman out of our Chicago office named Lisa Konechka. And it's grown now from just a half a dozen women that got together because it was a very male-dominated industry, and they wanted to figure out how they could help each other prosper in this industry. It's now up to 700 or 800 that actually meet on an annual basis. We have regional programs, not only for career counseling, but for just networking and exchanging information on transactional activities and account activities. So it's been extremely successful. I think one of the most successful, not just in the real estate industry, but in corporate industries. So we're very committed to that, and also other affinity groups, many others that we've actually identified, is perhaps not having the same population that there should be in the commercial real estate business. So we're very, very committed to making sure that as the leader, we behave like a leader and we set an example for the industry.
So cool. Very cool. Well, we're going to take a short break, but okay. When we come back, we're going to talk about trends in the commercial real estate industry. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings, $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month that can cover a car payment or pay back loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They're super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
You should.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars, where we are continuing our conversation with Lewis Horn, president of CBRE, Southern California and Hawaii. So we talked a lot about retaining good talent and getting them in the first place. And a big part of that is the atmosphere. And you have created quite the atmosphere for your employees in Southern California. Can you talk to me about some of the renovations Sure. of your workspace?
Well, it's not me. I mean, we've got a group now that's actually responsible for workplace strategy, but we were among the first to do this. And it started 4.5 years ago in our downtown corporate headquarters site, where we took a site that hadn't really been occupied in several years and converted it into something that was very special. And you can go to Google or Google CBRE Downtown LA or certainly my name, and that'll all come up. And it was a very innovative way of working. And underneath that, we then went on to do another 40 across the globe with another 20 that are currently under construction that incorporate elements like free address, so you're not assigned a seat, digitize all your historical files so that you can access information off the cloud, a wellness component in many of the offices where it's actually a healthier environment to work in. And we created street art, for example. We work with street artists in local communities because we believe that it's an international network. We have to be communicating with each other, but the importance of local knowledge is critical. So we generally will use local street artists to come in and help us with the interior of the building. In downtown LA, we, for example, use this Augustine Coffee, who is a graffiti artist, just does incredible street art, beautiful work. We've done the same in Chicago and also Honolulu, Sacramento, and sites all over the world. We also have incorporated wellness into our space. So it's a healthier environment in the way that we've built the flooring, in the way that we filter the air, in the way that we provide water at stations all over the environment. There's 50 different things that we've done, including planting plants and that sort of thing. So it's a creative environment now where people, I think, really appreciate the fact that we've, as a part of our values, have created an environment where people want to be there.
It sounds so cool. Definitely like the kind of place you want to work. Yeah. I mean, it is amazing how it goes a long way. If you're feeling inspired and creative, you're just going to work better. And as a millennial, I'll speak for my generation when I say that that's what we're looking for in a workplace. And I love that you've created this co-working environment. You've emulated the benefits of that. Can you share with our audience how that's really benefited your employees?
Well, no different than how co-working has become so popular with some of the major companies that everyone knows about. We've created kind of a co-working within our own organization. I mean, part of our brand is really, a big part of our brand is the quality of our outputs and the quality of the outcomes for our clients. So the way that we're combining people together is just very important. So for us, creating environments where people are really attracted because they believe that we're not only suggesting that other clients do that, but we're creating an environment where we're able to talk to clients about our own personal experiences in that conversion. I've got three daughters that range from 23 to 32, and that's all they want to talk about. They want to talk about the workplace environment, where for people my age, you know, we grew up in a row of cubicles or, you know, perimeter offices, and that is just dead. Since we've been open 4.5 years, we've had virtually every corporation in the Fortune 500 go through our space just to see how we as a traditional service-oriented business was able to convert and really skip a bunch of steps in our evolution. So we've really become a model not only for young startup companies, but also for large corporates.
Yeah, and then this trend of incorporating wellness has become very big because I think historically it's been kind of ignored.
Right.
It's all about, but it's been about the hustle and the productivity. But now I think people are starting to realize that the two go hand in hand.
Right.
Are you
there's a quote that gets tossed around a lot saying that, you know, sitting today is like smoking was to our parents, right? Sitting in an 8-hour period at a cubicle or a desk is just not healthy. It's not what our bodies were designed to do. So in our offices, in most of our offices, we're actually incorporating a wellness component. So the air that you're breathing is a higher quality with better filtration. We're planting plants inside the building. In downtown, we planted 1,000 plants. We've got the light actually can adjust, called circadian lighting. We worked with a group called Delos that actually helped us with a lot of this. We've got resting rooms for people who want to just take a short cat nap. Or certainly mothers that are new mothers that need to care for their children. We've got an environment where there's snacks that we audit to make sure that they really are healthy. And so there's, like I said, 50 of these different hard construction things that we've done in the space which make it healthier. And because of that, I think our people really have felt that they like the fact that we're making a priority their well-being. There's some interesting numbers for those of us in corporate jobs that, like, lead focus, which is the lead idea is energy savings. Mm-hmm. And that, as you break it down to a cost, can be in Los Angeles around $3 a square foot. Our rent roughly is $30 to $40 a square foot. Our people can be anywhere from $300 to $500 a square foot. So the investment in our people and the recruitment, the retention, and the well-being of our employees at any percentage is just a better investment at a cost standpoint. So it's something that we're not doing it just for the cost reasons. We're obviously doing it for two reasons. Really, number one, because we do care about the well-being of our employees, but also we want to be a living example for other corporates to follow suit on.
Yeah. And the spaces that you've created are really examples of trends in the commercial real estate industry with the idea of repurposing spaces. So can you speak to that?
Sure. It's called adaptive reuse. No different than the studio here, which I think is beautiful.
Thank you. The idea
of taking older buildings that were originally built for building automobiles or for distributing food, and then converting those using the old elements that were built in the turn of the century or however old they are, and incorporating those into the design. As an example, we took an old Masonic temple in Glendale, and we converted that into a beautiful space with arching ceilings, 34-foot clear, that you walk in and it just feels like you're more in a temple setting. But our employees love it. We just took a space working with Douglas Emmett called the old, it was the old Kate Mandolini restaurant. It's in the middle of a park surrounded by high-rise office buildings. And we were able to open up one of the walls in an accordion window so people can work outside in the park or they can work inside in the space. So we're constantly on every one of our new spaces pushing the envelope to see what can we do to make it more interesting and more productive and more efficient for our people. And we've really had fun doing it. And what's been particularly interesting, I think, is the fact that our clients really appreciate that we're taking those kinds of risks so we can impart that knowledge onto them, making it easier for them to make better business decisions.
Yeah, so cool. Do you have any tips or tricks when it comes to time management or organization or basically just moving your company forward?
I think the biggest tip I can give to all of the young entrepreneurs that are in business is recognizing when you've got to make hard decisions early. They never get easier. So I would say prioritizing your day around making hard decisions, making sure that the character and quality of the people that you're selecting as you're building your organization or as you're growing your organization, your character isn't good part-time. It's got to be good all of the time. And I think building an organization where you can really count on the promises that people are making to you and that you're able to then deliver to your clients is critical.
Great advice. Thank you so much for stopping by, chatting with me, and sharing all of your business insights.
Terrific.
Really appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
If you haven't yet heard of Molly Burke, let me fill you in. She's a typical sushi-loving millennial, a motivational speaker, and a YouTuber with almost 2 million followers. And she's done it all after losing her vision. I spoke with Molly, and she told me that success definitely didn't happen overnight.
No, definitely not. And I think a lot of people get discouraged when they start a YouTube channel and they look at somebody like me who has 1.8 million and are like, oh, I'm never going to get there. Like, of course. I mean, it took me a year to hit 5,000 and another year to hit 10,000. So it's really about getting into making videos for the right reason, for the passion, loving sharing your story or your message, whatever it is, and creating your own little community. It shouldn't be about the, you know, quote, fame or fortune or whatever that kind of idea might be.
Check out Molly Burke on YouTube.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
This is Business Rockstar.
Hi, I'm Mark Lack, CEO of Shorten the Gap. Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. And joining me today is Mark Wirtz, the author of America's Simple Solutions. Give us the quick background. I know you just say common sense. That's what the book's about. But expand a little bit on it for us.
Amazon calls it a book and classifies it under political and economic, and also in another section, which is called political freedom. So I guess I'm going to acquiesce to Amazon and say that I wrote a book about politics and about economics.
What inspired you to write this book?
I have 2 4-year-olds, twins, adorable, and I'm watching this car driving towards a brick wall, and I don't want them 20 years from now say, well, if you saw it, why didn't you say something?
That's what inspired you to write the book.
That's right.
Okay. What's the takeaway from the book? I read the book. What do I walk away with?
I think that Mark Lack makes the best decisions for Mark Lack and not somebody in a city far away that you know what you need. And if we will permit you to achieve what you need, you'll do the best job of anybody.
I want to talk about right now the business that you're a founder of, right? American Rags?
American Rag, yes.
Okay. And what is that?
Basically, we're entertainment retailers.
You created all the clothing, or you sell all the clothing that you're wearing?
I sell all the clothing I'm wearing, yes. Basically, for many, many years, we're harbingers of retail. We do things far in advance of the rest of the market. And long ago, I decided that I didn't like shopping. And if I went to a store, I wanted it to be fun and an experience. So we do food, we do shoes, we do books, we do apparel, we do denim very well, we do watches. jewelry. We do many, many, many things. And it's entertainment.
I know that that's one of the hardest industries and businesses to be in. Clearly, you've been successful at it. So what's been the key to your success?
I'm not about value. I'm really about an aesthetic. I'll put something that's gorgeous for $3 next to something that's $10,000. So there's no rules. You know, a department store breaks things down by department, right? Mm. Because that's what they do, right? I wouldn't mind selling, you know, a washing machine that was phenomenal next to a blow dryer, next to a fantastic watch. And you know, if they were all black, and they, you know, aesthetically were pleasing, and then I'd put a book in front of them on black automobiles.
How did you come up with this philosophy? Because it's definitely different and unique than a lot of people out there.
I'm not a retailer by family or by, it's by accident. So I didn't know the rules. So, and I have very simple business philosophy. I seek pleasure and avoid pain. And losses are painful, and profits are great pleasure. So basically, whatever works, that's what I do. And I really don't, you know, I don't have like a guidebook of how to do this.
You've obviously got some sort of a background in human psychology, or have studied Tony Robbins, because the biggest thing he teaches is humans are driven by two needs: the need to avoid pain and the need to gain pleasure, or the combination of the two. And so people statistically, from, you know, research-based science, have shown that people from the psychology background are 500% more driven and motivated to avoid pain than they are to gain pleasure. And so you can see advertisers tapping into this all of the time, our need to avoid pain. You say that you're more motivated by gaining pleasure. And of course, right, it's a combination of the two. We all are. But my question is, how did you develop or recondition yourself to focus more on gaining pleasure than the need to avoid pain?
Well, I'm actually a products guy. So products turn me on. So I love to see anything that's done perfectly, beautifully, and that someone went the
Aesthetics, right? That someone went
the extra mile to make it perfect, because most people don't want to make things perfect. So if you're going to make something perfect, I think I can recognize that, and I love that sort of thing. So to me, it's like having a sailboat. You know, like if you have a beautiful sailboat and it's a windy day, that sailboat's absolutely going to go. So I always thought to have, you know, the best selection on planet Earth, take the time to do it, and that I never had to worry about pain.
So playing devil's advocate with you here, and I think that some people would say that perfection is an opinion. So how can you craft something? And of course, I mean, you could look at a Lamborghini or a person or art and say that it's perfect. So how do you come up with the idea that you're creating something perfect?
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, period.
Correct.
So you know, I trust my instincts and my judgment. I find out everything I can about the products that I sell, and I want to determine that the product that I sell is the best product. So, you know, I take the time to do that.
So somebody like yourself, with all your business experience and wisdom, if you could take all of that back into the past with you, but you lost all your relationships, all your connections, all you have is the knowledge that you have within your head right now, but you had to start completely over, you have nothing except for your wisdom, but you've got a laptop with internet connection and $500. How do you get started?
One, I think there's a prerequisite that you can't have fear. And so you can have no fear to fail, because there is no failure, because failure is part of success. So you just have what's called GUTS, that's guts, and you just frickin' go for it. And if you have confidence in yourself, you'll figure it out. I don't mind wallowing around in the mud and getting dirty, because I know that by doing that, I'll find the way. So it's just a feeling of self-confidence.
So would you start in the same industry that you've been in with your knowledge in that, or would you go into a new space?
Right now, I'm working on a new concept called Fast Gourmet. And it's involved with the minimum wage laws, which I find absolutely absurd. But anyway, so, you know, like 40% of the restaurant industry will close or go busto with the minimum wage. So I'm in the process of making very beautiful foods in a restaurant environment on paper plates and plastic, and with no service and everything on an iPad. So I've just taken out all the waiters and that out of the equation.
What are you guys doing for marketing? How do you get American Rag out there?
The most important, I've taken all sorts of surveys, the most important marketing tool that we have is word of mouth. and satisfied customers. They are our greatest salespeople. So we try and make every experience, one experience at a time, a valuable experience, a value-oriented experience, and it just goes. Obviously, social media and that sort of thing is taking, you know, the marketing world by storm. But we start with our customer.
I love that. I want to talk about customer service with you because you have a great extensive background in that. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and joining me is Mark Wirtz, the author of America's Simple Solutions, a book about common sense, correct?
That's right. That's exactly right.
So let's talk about your background in customer service. You've been in business for what, 40 years?
1971.
All right. So just a little bit more than that then. So share with us tips and tricks to having incredible, some people call it gold star customer service.
It's not about you, it's about the customer. So that's like rule
101.
Right, yeah, 101. you know, when I go into a store and someone tells me what I can and can't do and this and that, I mean, I don't want to know about that. So, you know, like we just take that idea and we translate that to our customer. Nobody wants to come into any sort of a business environment and have everyone dictate what he can and can't do and what he must and must not do in order for him to spend his money at that place.
Why do you think companies are doing that? Because I love your philosophy, but yet that's what so many people are doing.
And that's why we have so many failures today. So, you know, it's...
it really goes back to people not treating the customers the way they want to be treated.
Customer is king, period. Yeah. That's it. Discussion over.
So businesses that are not constantly serving their customers, constantly getting feedback for how to adjust their products, their services, what business they should be in, should not be in, they're going to fail.
Can I finish that?
Yeah.
Those businesses go out of business.
And you know better than anybody. You've got over 40 years in the business world. What's been the key to your survival long term? Is it just customer feedback? Can we just tie it right back into that?
I'm a bit of a contrarian. If everybody's going left, then I'm over here exploring right.
You're going where the puck's going?
Well, yeah, right. My company was called American Rag Company, okay? And my beginning was in discards. So what people discarded, that was my business. That was my original business.
How did you come up with that as a business model? I think a lot of people might... So basically, can we call it trash or just rags?
Well, it was used clothing.
Okay.
American Rag was used clothing.
And now it's not.
It's about 7%, something like that, 7-8% used clothing, and the rest is all newly manufactured goods.
What led you to wanting to make that shift to grow your business?
Avoid pleasure or avoid pain and seek pleasure. Very simple.
So you guys feel like you wouldn't have been able to thrive had you stuck to
that's
that original
right.
model?
We couldn't have grown because obviously change is the standard, not the exception.
How did you see old clothes as an opportunity back then?
Well, actually, I didn't know anything about anything, and I had some wonderful, wonderful gentleman who later became an absolute mentor. He told me that, he asked me how much money I had, and I told him at that time, it was in 1971, it was $21,000, and he said if I gave him 30% of my money, he'd make me rich. And so that was in Queens, New York. And so I got on the plane, went back to Amsterdam where my wife was waiting for me. And I said, I just met this guy, it was fabulous. He said, if I gave him 30% of my money, he'd make me rich. And she said, you fell for that? And I said, he had something in his eye, a twinkle in his eye. So I said, why don't you come and we'll go meet him? So we went to Paris almost the next week, met this guy. He didn't show up, but he showed up late. And I gave him the $7,000 and he put me in the used clothing business.
And so, did it end up happening like you said?
Kinda.
What do you mean? I mean, clearly you ended up where you're at today as a result of that being one of the first chapters of your life or the domino
yes.
effect.
Right.
So it worked out though? For people listening in, do you trust the guy with the twinkle in his eye?
Yeah. Personal judgment is a very, you know, like...
Your gut feeling,
yeah,
your intuition?
Yeah, gut feeling. You can't, okay. You can't describe that.
Where can people learn more about you?
Certainly on my social media page, Mark I. Wirtz, author, and in my book, America's Simple Solutions. It's a lot of my philosophy.
Where can they find that? Amazon.
It's available online, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and in bookstores everywhere.
Awesome. People know where to find you now. I appreciate you for coming on our show, Mark.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
entrepreneurs learn something new every day, but these nuggets will put you ahead of the game. Here's a few management tips that will transform you into a great leader. I'm Alex Worley with a Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, be strong. People have a hard time believing in leaders who don't quite seem to believe in themselves. Second-guessing your choices and actions won't just negatively affect your own attitude, but also those of your team. Number two, don't let people fail for you. Take responsibility for both your successes and your failures. Don't blame failures on someone else. Instead, hold yourself accountable. Number three, stay sharp. Being a great leader isn't about sitting back and barking orders. As a matter of fact, you should be the hardest worker at your company. This gives you a realistic idea of what it's like to work at your company, which helps you lead more efficiently and build better relationships with your team. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Have you heard what President Trump said recently?
Newsmax, you like Newsmax. I like it too. I like it too.
Now you can watch Newsmax TV and get the truth about Trump from Bill O'Reilly, Mike Reagan, Alan Dershowitz, Pat Buchanan, and more. Newsmax TV is America's fastest growing cable news channel, now in 70 million homes. Find Newsmax on DirecTV, Dish, Xfinity, Spectrum, Optimum, Fios, UVerse, and more systems. See Newsmax TV today. It's real news for real people.
Hey, people at my friend's company got blackmail emails.
Yeah, it's a popular type of spear phishing attack.
Wow, that sounds serious.
It is. Scammers claim to have compromising information, like a video, and threaten to share it with their contact list, unless the victim pays a ransom.
What if they target someone at our company?
We're secured. Barracuda Sentinel uses artificial intelligence to block spear phishing attacks, including blackmail emails.
Well, that's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda, your journey secured.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-291-1899. Again, that's 800-291-1899. 800-291-1899. 800-291-1899.
Welcome back to Business Rockstars. Now let's check in with Pat O'Brien.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is CEO Roundtable.
We've got two CEOs here, Lisa Federman, my old friend from Namaku. I love saying that, Namaku.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And what do you say when I say Namaku?
Pat O'Brien.
There you go. See, we got our deal. And my old friend Shannon Ridley. How are you, man?
Yes, sir. I'm
good
great.
To see
how are you?
From the CEO of Wizpack. And the Ridley Company, and we've got 100 friends in common. Let's talk about the culture that you create in your company. What are the people like, and what's the culture you try to create?
Everybody that I hire at my company, I make sure that I can stand them breakfast, lunch, and dinner, that I want to hang out with them after work.
And pick up the bill?
Yes, well, we all split the bill.
Okay, all right.
I want us to feel like a family and open.
Okay, how about you, Shannon?
Oh, everybody at my team, on my team is very energetic, lively, creative. It's like high school, ninth grade with your favorite teacher in every class.
I love it. My favorite line is high school with money.
That's what it is, man. It's high school all day.
I like that. When you're hiring new people, Shannon, what sort of traits do you look for?
Oh, man, I'm a very meticulous guy, so they have to be neat. They have to be able to articulate themselves, and they have to be able to help me grow the brand in what area I need to grow them in. Yeah. So I really watch them for a while. I vet them and see if they could help me, and then I hire them.
I'm pretty sure it's the same with you, Lisa, but how do you know? I mean, is there some instinctual thing you have?
Yeah, there's one thing that I see is that I'm interested in interesting people, which means that they're interested in something else. You have to have some kind of thing that you're very, very passionate about, whether it's a hobby or your religion or something. You have to be all in on that one thing, and then I identify with you. I'm right. Like, oh, yeah, I'm like that.
And passion's the key word, right, Shannon?
Yes.
How do you stay passionate? I know you're a passionate guy.
Yes.
But how do you keep everybody as passionate as you? Is that possible?
Oh, it's possible.
Or to come in with, you know, let's get this done, I love this, and all that kind of.
Yes, I think your energy transfers to them. If they are excited about your brand and product and they see you're excited about it, it's just infectious. It's infectious every time. I mean, for me, they look and watch me, and I dictate the pace and the energy of the company.
What's the most important to you, vision, core values, or mission? Or all three? At the Ridley Company.
Oh man, I would say vision, and then I'd go to the core value.
Right, yeah. Vision. Why?
Because without
the
vision,
be ahead of everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, without the vision, man, it's nowhere to go. I mean, you have to have a vision. You have to know where you're going, and then all the other things can kind of organically just support it.
Do you agree, Lisa?
I see where he's coming from. For me, it's always...
In other words, don't agree, but go ahead.
Yes, for me, it's mission.
Right.
We're very mission-driven, and then we'll do whatever it takes. Our vision can change. It's all about reaching that planet, Mars.
How do you keep people motivated all the time?
Yeah, I think it goes back to the passion. You have to have people who are passionate about your product and what you're presenting to the people.
Same
and
you.
I think that passion is what keeps them.
Yeah. You agree?
I agree. And you got to be strong for everybody else. You know, when things are not going your way, you got to figure it out and then show people the future of what it could be. And then we can leave anything in the past.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be basically the same thing. You're setting an example, right,
yes,
for your employees.
Yes.
You have to do that. How do you stay focused as a CEO, especially in your business, because you're hanging out with?
Well, it's tough, man, because I'm also a single dad of twin 17-year-olds now. And, you know, being Mr. Mom and staying focused in the company is really tough. But I've managed to do it because you got to feed them.
Yeah.
So that keeps my focus.
You know how much money it costs to raise teenagers? All of it.
All of it. All of it.
Just so you know. And that's a good point, though. Balance. How do you keep balance in your company?
I don't.
In your life, rather. You don't.
Yeah, I just give in to the chaos. And I roll with the punches, because if I just impose any kind of strict guidelines, I'm always going to break it, because your life changes every day as an entrepreneur. I just embrace the chaos.
It's by minute by minute. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstar CEO Roundtable. Shannon Ridley is here, and Lisa Fetterman is here from Namaku and the Ridley Company. Do you guys, you know, you're young. Do you envision yourselves as a CEO? Do you believe that you're actually a CEO?
I'll let you go first.
Okay. I always saw myself as a leader. Mm-hmm. And whatever title you want to give me, I'll take it.
That's right. You're one of those.
Yeah.
It still hasn't sunk in for me.
Right.
You know, I'm still a kid in my mind who was sitting behind a mixing board being a recording engineer. So how I got here and being a CEO is still, every day it's a pinch for me.
What would you share, Shannon, with people who want to get into business? I mean, funding is obviously the main thing, but what would you share with them?
I'd go back to vision. I mean, start with the vision. Know what it is that you want to do, and if you have the time, research it and be able to compete or beat anybody out there in that field.
Did that come through your background, through the people you've hung out with?
Yeah, I learned with Diddy over 14, 15 years of being with him. He's one of the greatest marketers in the world, and people who don't really understand one of the greatest creators in the world when it came to music and brands. And I was lucky to be able to learn firsthand from him.
There's only one number for Diddy, number one.
That's it.
There's no number two.
That's it.
How about you? What would you suggest?
It may seem counterintuitive to a lot of entrepreneurs, but I would say tell everybody your idea. If you're just starting out, tell everyone. Form your community now. Ask them for feedback. Like, hey, I want to make a cooking machine that does XYZ. You'll be shocked at how many people have the same idea as you and want to help you. And then you grow your community, and those are your first customers.
And can refine your product even, right?
Exactly.
I mean, I like that. What's the kind of a dialogue you have with your customers?
Well, right now I'm so new, I haven't even had a chance to establish dialogue, but my first customer was the Beverly Hills Hotel. That was my first purchase order.
At the top. Yeah.
So, you know, to answer your question, I think if you got a great product, it speaks for itself.
What's the, let's say, the one mistake that you see people making, other leaders, that you don't want to make? What are they? What's the one mistake they make more than others?
A mistake that I see leaders make is that they get over emotional and fly off the handle, and I never want to do that. I want to be so even keeled, and I strive for that.
And you?
I think knowing too much, knowing everything about everything.
Well, you can't, right?
It's impossible, and I've seen it so many times, and that's something I've learned not to do.
And the worst part is pretending to know everything.
Absolutely.
I've run into a few of those.
Absolutely.
Lisa, thank you.
Thank
Shannon, thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
We'll see you later.
Yes, sir.
I'm Pat O'Brien. You've been watching Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars CEO Roundtable. See you next time.